All right, pleasure being with you today as we get ready for game two between the Nationals and the Giants. Nationals beat up on the Giants 14-4 last night to win their first game of the four that these two teams have played. Well, it's a pleasure to bring in this next gentleman. In 2010, he and I did the post games together down the stretch. And, of course, during the playoffs as well. And one of my great moments was being with him when the Giants won the World Series in 2010. And that is F.P. Santangelo. F.P., how are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. I was just thanks for having me on, first of all. It's good to hear your voice. I was just on the KMBR Twitter, and I saw that a Giants fan named Mary turned 101 today, and she got an autographed ball, an autographed pitcher from Brandon Crawford. And I said, that is cool. I mean, how cool is that? And then it hit me. Oh, man, what am I getting Marty for his 101st birthday this year? So I haven't got your present yet, buddy.
I was waiting for the shot. That's okay. I was waiting for the shot. Yesterday, it was actually fun before the game. Brandon Crawford's kid was throwing a ball up in the air, and he was actually catching it very easily, just like his father does. And then he sort of had a nice picture with Soto, who will be a free agent in a year or so. Maybe there was recruiting going on.
You never know, man. I'd say he grew up around the game. I mean, Junior did that. My son was a bat boy at Candlestick Park the last game there. I tell the story all the time. I think he was 4 or 5, and he was on the top step, and, you know, it was a full house at the stick against the Dodgers the last game at the ballpark, and he's on the top step, and he's ready to go get Marvin Bernard's bat, and I think Marvin let off with a home run, and the place went nuts. And FP turned to me, and he was just crying. It was too loud for him to go out there. I'm like, go get the bat. And he wouldn't go get the bat. So, you know, the kids, I mean, they grow up around it. That's such a cool opportunity. And I think my son was in, like, I don't know, second or third grade before he realized that everybody's dad wasn't a Major League Baseball player. He would go up to kids in class and say, hey, my name's FP. What team does your dad play for? And then he thought everybody's dad was a baseball player. So that's cool that the kids get to come to the ballpark and be with their parents that are ball players. That's really neat.
No, the Griffey story, you know, they used to play sock baseball in the clubhouse before the game. And there's so many kids. Look at the Bells, those folks as well.
Yeah, you grow up around it. Just like, you know, Barry Bonds with Bobby and Willie Mays being there every day. It's cool how it goes on, you know, and so it goes, ..
Yeah, the Boons are another one. All right. Hey, a couple of things. One, Washington, and you know this team very well, they broke loose last night with 22 hits, and three or four players had 4 hits. Soto had a big game last night. What's your take on Soto, first of all? How good is this guy? And it seems to me, I don't think he's going to be in Washington after another year.
Well, not to correct you on the radio, Marty, but I really don't know this team very well because they traded everybody last year and got rid of everybody last year. So I think Juan Soto is really the only guy I do know on the ball club. And he's just such an amazing hitter. And he reminds me a lot of Barry Bonds in the sense that, you know, he only swings at the pitch he's looking for. And he'll sit up there and he'll take his walks. And he could walk 3 or 4 times. And then you lay one in there, you make a mistake, and he's going to make you pay. And when I see teams playing the Nats this year without the surrounding lineup, I just keep scratching my head because the pre-series meeting to me when you're playing the Nationals is, you know, you usually go, well, hard in, soft away. We're going to do this to this guy. It's a real short meeting and you say Juan Soto's not beating us. And that's it. Because if I'm a major league manager and I'm going to a press conference after a game, I don't want to have to explain to the media why Juan Soto beat me. I can explain why Josh Bell beat me. I mean, why, you know, name other guys on the team that are good players, but they're not Juan Soto. So when I see that lineup and I see, you know, the players around him right now, I mean, it's simple to me. Don't let him beat you. But Marty, he's got such great plate coverage. Mm. He can hit off speed as well as he could hit fastballs. When he first came up, he wasn't a very good off speed hitter. And he and Kevin Long, the hitting coach at the time, they really worked on, you know, staying back on the baseball, going the other way. He's got power to all fields. The greatest command of the strike zone I've seen since Barry and Jason Giambi. I thought Jason never got enough credit for having a tremendous knowledge of the strike zone and making you pay when you made a mistake. So he reminds me of all the great left-handed hitters of all times, and I've compared him to like a left-handed Albert Pujols. So I think he's that good.
Wow, quite an endorsement. They say he'll be the first $500 million player. How about that?
I don't even know how to comment on that. Like, what do you do with $500 million, Marty? I don't know.
Yeah, but for one player, come on. And but that's where it's going, because players now getting $35 million for a year. Look at Correa and people like that. So I love watching him play, and what he did last night was really interesting. Stepping out, trying to disrupt the rhythm of Alex Wood. And look, you've played Major League Baseball for a long time. When you see a pitcher who's in a certain rhythm, the one thing you want to do is get him out of the rhythm, and he tried it last night.
Well, you know, he takes a long time getting in there, and he has kind of a production, if you will, before the pitch and after the pitch, and it's part of his routine. He does what's called the Soto shuffle, and, you know, he takes his time getting in, and he's looking down, and, you know, if I'm a pitcher facing Juan Soto, I want to throw the baseball, and if I have a rhythm, I want to throw it. So when you look at how that thing goes, I'm surprised more pitchers don't do that to Juan Soto and try to just be like, hey, get in the box, meet, let's go. And he takes a while to get in there, and then he shuffles and looks at you, and it's all part of his mind game, like, you know, let's go, let's do this. And he tries to, you know, intimidate the pitcher a little bit by the way he goes about his thing, and it's how he does it. And I think everybody realizes that. So I've seen that a lot with him, where he just doesn't get on rhythm with the pitcher because, you know, he's hitting on his terms. He wants to get in there, dig in, and he does dig in for a while, and then looks up at the pitcher, and a lot of times the pitcher's going, and then when the pitcher's going, he calls timeout, and the pitcher stops his delivery. And I've seen this dance, if you will, between Juan Soto and pitchers for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now.
Wow, great. Great insight. Great insight into Juan Soto. FP Santangelo with us. Always a pleasure. All right, we had an incident this week with Jock Peterson. And he's getting heckled and heckled Monday in Milwaukee, and he turns around and says something. Then he goes up and he knocks one out, and it basically becomes a game winner, puts the Giants back in the game. So how did you like that moment? And look, you've been in the big leagues for many years, and fans heckle you. What do you think of that moment with Peterson?
Well, I'm a huge Jock Peterson fan, and I got to know him a little bit when he played with the Dodgers, talking to him for a while, and then when he went to the Cubs, I was happy for him that I could actually root for him now that he was a Cub. And then with the Braves last year, I mean, he was the difference in them winning the World Series, just his swaggers, his confidence, what he brings to the clubhouse, all the stuff that analytics can't measure, the presence that he has with his teammates and keeping them loose and giving them confidence, you know, unmeasurable things in today's game. And so when the Giants signed him, I was fired up. Like, I'm a big Jock Peterson fan. Local guy, gets to play for the Giants. I can relate, right? You know, you got to figure out in April the pass list and who you're leaving tickets for. And then, you know, finally around, you know, April, May comes along, you're like, well, my sixth grade science teacher's not coming to the game anymore. And I finally gave, you know, I gave my parents the opportunity, I guess, so to speak, to leave tickets for people because it was just too much. So he's probably going through all of that. In the meantime, he's hitting home runs. He's swinging the bat well. He's getting on base. Everything that comes off his bat seems like it's shot out of a cannon. And just the swagger that he brings. So I was super fired up the other night. But, I mean, if you're a fan, the number one rule is don't heckle the best player on the other team. Like, I mean, that's the last guy you want to wake up. And at the time, Jock Peterson's the best player on the Giants. He's raking, right? He's their hottest hitter. And they're yelling at him, and he's yelling back. So, you know, first of all, you got to be good to be able to yell back. You know, fans used to yell at me all the time, Marty. I wasn't good enough to turn around and say anything because I was about to strike out and go back to the dugout. And then it gets even louder, right? So you just kind of wear it. But I love the fact that, you know, he shot back a little bit and then he walked the talk. He got in the box and went deep and was pounding his chest. I thought it was one of the coolest moments I've seen. And props to Dave Fleming on the broadcast for just setting that whole thing up. I mean, he was on it from the time that Peterson kind of was chirping to the fans. You know, he wasn't looking at his computer or looking anywhere else. He was on it, and he realized the importance of it. And he also realized that whoever it was in Milwaukee was poking the bear and that he had a chance to answer with a home run. So he and Sean Estes did a great job of setting that whole thing up and then Jock Peterson delivered. But I'll say this, Marty, the one thing I was kind of shocked about is Milwaukee is one of my favorite towns to go to. The nicest people on the planet, bar none. I mean, I didn't even know they heckled in Milwaukee. So to see a couple of drunk college kids getting on Jock Peterson and then him delivering a huge home run and a big moment in the game was really, really cool. One of the coolest things, I think, of the young season so far.
I loved it. I loved it. I think it was a great baseball moment, and I live for the baseball moments. Well, the Giants and Dodgers, two games Tuesday and Wednesday. You've been down this road before. 19 games between these two teams, and you can throw a blanket over the first three in the division.
Well, you know, it's great, and it's a great rivalry, but the Giants got to get healthy because, you know, no offense to the guys that were out there last night. They're all major leaguers, but when you're missing all those big left-handed hitters, it doesn't matter who you play because it's the big leagues. And when you're going and you're going about to play the big boys in your division, which I guess it's the two big boys now after a 107-win season and winning the West, you'd like to have like to be at full health. But, hey, nobody's going to feel sorry for the Giants. They're defending NL West champs. They won 107 games last year. And a lot of the teams in the division in baseball are probably glad they're dinged up right now with the COVID and the injury. So we'll see how that whole thing plays out. Hey, it's always a big series, whether it's early May or late September. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be terrific. Well, great to have you on. You know a little bit about Adone, the pitcher. You saw him a little bit. Lefties seem to hit him pretty well, and you're right. The Giants are missing a lot of that power in the lineup. So we'll see him today against a very good pitcher in Logan Webb. And I'm interested to watch Soto today, after you described it, to see what he does. So good game. It's going to be fun today.
It'll be fun. I mean, it's a good matchup for Soto. He can go the other way, and that sinker's sinking away from him. And it seems like, you know, Logan's been pitching really well, but not the one that you saw last year.
Right.
And you wonder if the short spring training has affected a lot of these guys so far. So hopefully he's on his A game today. And I come to the conclusion last night that the Giants just don't play well on Apple TV. It's pretty simple. I mean, I don't think you really need to break the game down any more deep than that, right? They just don't like Apple TV.
We could do a whole show on that. Hey, great to have you on. I look forward to it anytime, man, anytime.
All right, Marty, it's so good hearing your voice. It's so good talking Giants baseball, and hopefully I'll see you soon, buddy. Take care.
Okay, take care. Boy, that is FP Santangelo. Always a pleasure to talk ball with him. We have fun. All right, Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.